Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. I'd like to share with you the second part of my conversation with popular Dominican preacher and former Master General of his order, Timothy Radcliffe. A preacher who, if you listened last week, introduced himself to us in this manner. Stay tuned.
I'm an itinerant preacher, or as some of my brethren say, a perambulating windbag.
We're an itinerant preacher. We've been doing a bit of itinerant thinking
here.
That's
right.
I'd like to go back to prayer. You explained that the two fundamental elements in prayer are listening and speaking, involving both silence and petition, which leads on to the third element, which is praise. What happens then?
I love the expression which you find in C.S. Lewis, surprised by joy. And I think our words about the gospel will never be moving. They'll have no authority if people do not see they're rooted in a certain joy. And that was the root of my vocation, I think, ultimately, as a religious, is I had a wonderful great-uncle who was a chaplain in the First World War, lost most of his fingers, lost his eye, also he was a Benedictine. But as a child, we saw that he was filled with joy. Even as a child, I had the intuition that that joy was something to do with God. And it's not, I think, that rather hearty joy, which you find with some Christians, you know, smile because Jesus loves you, which can be rather irritating. I think it's a sort of profound joy which wells up inside you, because God exists, and because God takes pleasure in our existence. So I think joy is what often turns people's lives upside down.
It's something that people find hard to find. They're always filling it with ephemeral sort of joy, aren't they?
That's right, because often we feel a void inside us. And you may try to fill it with alcohol, iced wine, you might fill it with all sorts of things. But in the end, it's a void, a hole at the centre of one's being, which only God can fill utterly pleasurably.
Well, some people are lucky enough to listen to you as a preacher, but if you had to suggest to a young person to read something that might inspire them, what would you suggest?
Gosh, that's a big question. If one were to take something biblical, I would say read the second half of the prophet Isaiah. It's so wonderful, it's exuberant, it's immensely human. I also utterly love St. Augustine. I think his confessions are amazing. I think that he has a humanity which bowls one over. I think if I were to suggest something today, more modern, I think you could do far worse than read a book by my Irish brother Paul Murray, who teaches here in Rome, and he's a poet. And he's written some beautiful little books, a wonderful one on Dominican spirituality. I think Paul Murray would be somebody that I would point to. And finally, final recommendation, is one of my brethren I lived next door to for 20 years, was a wonderful theologian, an extraordinarily amazing and sometimes difficult man called Herbert McCabe. And Herbert had a passion, I think, for theology, and he made it always so exciting. And there's a little collection of his works called God, Christ and Us.
And of course, what you've written too.
Well, I've written two books recently. One is called What's the Point of Being a Christian? The other is called Why Go to Church? What happened with the first one was that a friend of mine took me out for dinner, a Turkish meal, as it happens, in North Oxford. And he said that his son had asked the question, what's the point of it all? Why bother? What do you get out of it? This question was put to me, and it was a provocative question, so I wanted to write about it. And then the natural follow-up was many people said, okay, that's fine. Jesus I love. It's the church I can't abide. Now, what's the point of the church? Why go to church? Why can't I just pray to Jesus lying in bed on Sunday morning? So that really provoked the second book, Why Go to Church? To try to explore why the call of Jesus is always a call into the community and ultimately into the community of the church.
One of the reasons you've come to Rome is to speak at Foyer Unitas, which is an ecumenical centre, on being a Christian in the 21st century. So what are you going to tell people?
And I want to focus on two things, really. The first of all is doctrine. There is what I would call a doctrinaire prejudice against doctrine. There's the assumption that doctrine closes your mind down, it gives you wrapped up answers, it stops you thinking. And, you know, children need doctrines, but adults think for themselves. So I want to try to subvert that and suggest why doctrine remains beautiful, exciting, attractive, and that the church has to be a teaching church.
You're going back to before the Second Vatican Council.
Well, no, I don't think so, you see. I mean, I think the Second Vatican Council was filled with beautiful doctrine. But often we have such a narrow understanding of what doctrine is. Second thing is, I want to look at morality, having a moral vision, why we urgently need one these days. But I want to suggest why having a moral vision is not moralistic. It's not about lots of a list of things you're allowed to do or forbidden to do. The traditional Christian understanding of a moral vision is not about what you're allowed to do, it's about who you become. And it's about becoming virtuous. It's about becoming someone who seeks God and who delights in doing his will. And I think our contemporary society is rather lost. It sees everything in terms of regulation, whereas we see things in terms of becoming someone who takes pleasure in God. That's the end of the virtuous life.
I think people understand being virtuous, don't they? But it's a doctrinal part that they don't relate to, I think, today, no?
Well, that's interesting. I think maybe it depends upon where you are. And a lot of young people I know just don't know the idea of virtue. There's a big recovery going on all over the world, particularly the English-speaking world. Virtue ethics are very much in, and I think it's absolutely needed. I've been having I've given various lectures in London over the past year, often to people working in finance, bankers and that sort of thing. Trying to share with them the idea of virtue has been very exciting, and often they respond because they've never heard of morality in those terms. They've only understood morality in terms of commandment, obligation, which is very much a post-Reformation stress. Our ancestors in the 13th century, 12th, 13th, 14th century, for them, virtue is the central thing, and it's about coming alive.
And warm thanks there to our popular Dominican preacher and former Master General of his order, Father Timothy Radcliffe. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.